Hey everybody, welcome back to another season of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host Jean Tian. That's me. In this season, we are exploring the intersectionality of authenticity with an ethnic flair and success. I am so excited to be able to provide this platform to bring on the voices of Asian Americans, particularly Asian American females, so that they can share their stories of how they have overcome social and cultural conditioning, as well as their own personal stories in order to find their own success. This is a super powerful season. I cannot wait for you guys to hear their stories. I am breaking down cultural norms for you. Let's get started. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic with me, your host Jean Tian. And today I wanted to touch on education and specifically the importance of education within Asian society and how it has impacted us today. And so let's get started. So growing up, education has always been the main focus. My parents were so dedicated to the education of myself and also my brother. And the episode today actually was triggered by something my mom said to me this past weekend when we were out for hot pot, which is amazing. I always love hot pot. But my mom actually had was my mom and dad actually were asking about how my kids are doing in school and, you know, what is it that they're learning and what type of activities, like extracurricular activities, are we putting them in, right? Are they engaged in? And so this kind of triggered two things. Number one, it was really interesting because despite having had the experience that they've lived, right? And seeing how education doesn't necessarily equate to success in life, right? The way that they were taught to believe that it does when they were growing up in Asia, they're still so focused and they still believe that education is number one and it's the number one priority for children in order for them to have the best chances of success. And then the second thought that this triggered for me was also that the focus on education is no longer just about grades and what they learn in school, but they've also recognized the importance of a well-rounded education, which is inclusive of art and music and, you know, other outlets and extracurricular activities that rounds out their ability to learn things that aren't necessarily taught in school. And so I thought that that was really interesting because, you know, when we were growing up, music was important because I made it important for me, but it wasn't always the number one priority. Our priority, because we had very limited funds, was always geared towards enrichment activities, enrichment classes, test prep classes, et cetera, to make sure that we were always on top of what we needed to be and always ahead of what was taught in school so that we didn't have to find the school curriculum all that challenging. Anyway, so this brought up this topic for today, for today's episode, because number one, let's touch on education and where it really began. So in Asia, my parents had actually shared with me that college major, it was based off of your test scores from your high school years. And you were then assigned a major. So unlike the Western school system here in the US where we get to pick our major, my parents, when they went to college, was assigned a major. So my dad was actually assigned meteorology and my mom, I believe, was assigned accounting. So the higher the grades, the determining factor, I guess, was what your major would be. And similar to here in the US, your grades would also determine the college that you were accepted into. So the better the scores, the higher and the more top tier your college would be. So the more prestigious it would be. So very similar to here. And so very much for my parents and their generation, and I think it's similar now, but I'm not sure because I'm not in that right now. But when my parents were growing up, your grades basically equated to your ability to succeed, right? Because good grades meant future opportunities, whereas poor grades didn't necessarily mean you would have as many opportunities. And from a financial perspective, it may not have even made sense to go to college based off of the college that you were assigned to, your family's ability to afford the tuition, and also the major that you were assigned to study, right? So this belief of this direct relationship between education and success was carried over into and implanted into myself and also my brother, right? Because when we were growing up, everything was heavily focused on grades. My parents sacrificed and worked, and my mom worked at the post office, so she would work night shifts and also overtime so that she can make extra money so that we can go and live in an area that had a good school district, and also so that she can afford to hire tutors for us if we needed it, or we go to the enrichment classes, et cetera, as I mentioned before. Now, as more information is being disclosed, I guess it was always out there, but as social media has opened up this platform for disclosure or for easy access of information, right? What I've also discovered over the last few years was the actual history of where our current education system comes from. And I can only speak for that here in the West, right, where I grew up, not necessarily in Asia, but I think it's pretty similar if you just look at it from a very broad perspective. And so if you look into the history of the education system, what you would find are the stories of how education as it exists today, like the system as it exists today, the objective was not to enrich the minds and educate in the way that I think we would want our kids to be educated. That's not the focus. It wasn't the focus, right? I think it's becoming more of the focus, but it hasn't historically been the focus. The objective of the system way back when, hundreds of years ago, because it's still a relatively new system, is that the system was designed to create docile and well-behaved factory workers, right? Because think about it. Think about what our students today are graded upon. They're graded upon their ability to show up to school. They are graded upon their ability to participate in a way that's acceptable for the school system as well as for the teachers. They're graded upon their ability to memorize facts, and they're graded upon their ability to regurgitate facts, right? All skill sets that are critical and crucial to a successful factory worker. And they also are graded upon their ability to listen to the teacher, AKA the factory manager. And when a student is able to master these skills that make them a good factory worker, they get good grades. And if the student, however, falls outside of the spectrum of being a good factory worker, then they get a label. Sometimes the label is good, sometimes, and most often, the label isn't that great. And what I think people don't realize is that these labels have even longer term consequences than just the school age that the student is in, right? It actually can stay with them throughout their entire lives, limiting their ability to truly succeed based off of the desires that they want. Separate topic. But it is interesting because in today's society then, if we look at and kind of integrating this Asian mentality of education is number one with this expanded knowledge, right, of where education starts from, then we can also apply the same, I want to say, the same type of analysis onto, the education system and the education process within Asia too. And we don't have to look too far. We can use the same assessment. Students are graded based on their ability to follow instructions, to get to study, to memorize and regurgitate facts, to follow the teachers, and not be disobedient. And it actually, and this brings up a story. I remember because I actually went to kindergarten. I attended kindergarten in Taiwan. That's where I was born. And I remember, I don't remember a lot. I actually have very good Swiss hole or Swiss cheese memory. I have holes everywhere. However, one story I do remember is running up the stairs when we were kids, and we were running from one place back into our classroom. And we had to, and we weren't allowed to. We had to actually walk to the classroom. And so when we got to the classroom, the teacher was very angry that the students, us, ran to the classroom. And she was so angry, she pulled out a ruler and she asked the students who had ran to stand up. I can't remember if I stood up or not, but essentially, if you stood up because you admitted that you ran up the stairs, you would get slapped on the hand. That wasn't the only time. If I did get slapped on the hand there, it wasn't the only time I've been slapped on the hand. Slapped on the hand many times before for varying reasons. It was really subjective and up and at the teacher's discretion. And so, if you take that, and we also had to wear uniforms, right? And so everybody was really meant to conform. And any digression or variance from our ability and the requirement to conform, you were punished. Right? And so this whole focus on education and this belief that it's a direct proportional relationship to success, it's something that is slowly starting to evolve. I think people are slowly starting to see that it's not a one-to-one equation. However, there is, I think slowly is the key word because it is a very slow process where people are starting to question how the education system works, why it works the way that it does, and what are we really teaching our kids? And I think it's also interesting because within the Asian culture, we're so deferential to teachers and to the education system and to our elders, right, which would include the teachers, the school principals, the superintendent, et cetera, that we don't question when something happens in the school. And we don't ask for more, even though we're totally entitled to ask for more. And I don't want to say entitled in a negative way, but we have a right, is what I mean, to ask for more from the school district. The problem is that they don't have a requirement or a mandate from a public school district anyway to provide more. They are very much set based off of the curriculum that they're required to comply with. Based off of, the rules and the restrictions that the Department of Education has set for them, that the particular school district has set for them. So the system itself creates a very unbending set of parameters for the teachers, for the administrators, et cetera. But in this day and age, I think what we're starting to see, and I think what will be carried forward in future generations of Asians and Asian Americans, right, is this relaxation and lack of, from a lack of fear, quite frankly, that poor grades take away any chances of our kids succeeding. And what I think that will enable is this more holistic perspective and approach to students and their education, right? And focusing more on their mental health, focusing more on the enrichment of their lives rather than, like constantly forcing them to study and putting that pressure on themselves. Because I can tell you that that was really a lot of stress for me when I was growing up, for my brother when he was growing up. I can only speak for on his behalf at this point. And I know for many of my friends as well, right? Because constantly striving for perfection in terms of the grades creates a certain mentality that we don't automatically just toss away once we enter into the workspace. In fact, if anything, it very much stays with us in the workspace, right? And you kind of can see that those who did well in school because they were able to follow directions, they were disciplined, they could regurgitate facts in order to execute their job responsibilities well, and they didn't disobey their teachers. It translates over into a good worker now. So whether or not they're in a factory, right, or not, it still carries forward. But the problem that we have today is that in order for corporations and for businesses to stay competitive, you absolutely need great employees. You need people to be able to execute on what they're required on their job responsibilities. But there's an aspect that's missing now. And that's the critical thinking abilities, that is creative thinking abilities, and that is an ability to be able to have conflict in the office in a positive and productive way. And that's something that I have had to very much get comfortable with and kind of step outside of my Asianness, because I was always taught not to create conflict. I was always taught to say yes and to people please and to make sure that I didn't upset my managers, because if I did, or even my teachers, right? If I did, then that meant discipline. That meant punishment. More than discipline, it meant punishment. And it could come with grave punishment, right? And it can come with very painful punishment, quite honestly. And so it is so critical for us at this juncture in our lives, at where we are today, to start reevaluating the values that we've been instilled with, the beliefs that we have been taught and to adopt and assimilate as our own. We have to start looking at, does it still serve us? Because there's going to be a lot of times when it doesn't. There will be a lot of times when we have to speak up for ourselves. There will be a lot of times when we have to step outside of the good worker myth, right, or the good worker mold, and be okay with this concept of disagreement. Be okay with disagreeing with our manager. Be okay with being the person, the only person in the room that says no when everybody else is saying yes, because we can see something that other people can't, rather than putting ourselves down, rather than putting our, silencing ourselves. Our value is no longer, there's this shift, right, in our lifetimes where we have to reevaluate where we add value. And it's not just about studying. It's not just about working hard and putting in the hours. It is very much about our ability to think creatively, ability to think critically, our ability to come up with solutions that nobody else in the room can see. And the solutions that work for the place that we're in, not just some random solutions, right? And so I think when we think about success in corporate America as an employee of Asian descent, it very much used to tie with, or the belief is that it tied with, our ability to succeed in school and to do well in school. But if you really look at it, and if you really look at the numbers, right, and this unconscious bias that Asians don't make good leaders, part of that unconscious bias comes from these behaviors that were previously rewarded as part of being a good student. And it doesn't necessarily always equate to being that good leader. So, this concept of education and good grades, and I think that there's something to be said about that, but I also think there's something to be said about what we're able to do outside of grades, our talents outside of the traditional displays of talent, right? Of success. And to really evaluate whether or not this belief that we have about ourselves as a good student, as a good employee, is really serving, whether or not these beliefs are really serving who we are or who we want to be. And I bet that a lot of it is that I think a lot of us will realize that it's not serving us in the way that we were taught to believe that it would. It's not going to get us into the corner office. We have to be able to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and the uncomfortable is how not to be, further perpetuating, how not to further perpetuate some of these beliefs that we have been taught about what success means, about what is required to succeed, especially in corporate America, right? Where we are seen as submissive and silent and good worker bees and nothing more than that. So it's an interesting concept. I think also, as we are seeing more of too, is that social media, the availability of the World Wide Web, aka the internet, it creates a lot of different opportunities that we didn't have or that our parents didn't have when they were growing up. And that doesn't necessarily require your traditional education process. And as a parent who struggles with being expansive as well as, but yet who is, kind of struggling with the fears of what poor grades may mean for my kid's future, right? I think we find ourselves at a very interesting time in our lives when we can gain some perspective about where education really fits in, about the importance of holding on to certain cultural values, but as well as letting go of other ones, because I think that there is a current conflict and tension between what we've been taught and also what we are experiencing in the real world today. So that I'd love to hear anyway, what you guys think about how education and the views of education and how you were taught to believe in education or what you were taught to believe about education has influenced you as an individual, as a parent, as an employee, etc. So drop a note in the comments or email me at info@jeanpan.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. But yeah. And this will be the second to last episode. There will be one more episode for season two, and it's really a wrap-up episode. And thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic. And I will see you guys soon. Bye, guys.